The land, the Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of November 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. We'll discuss the agricultural cash grain markets with Ben Pruce out at the Everly, Iowa facility that belongs to the Andersons. Look at the weather forecast with Jim Angel from the Illinois State Water Survey. Dave Dickey will update us on the agricultural news, and I'll tell you all about the International Food and Agribusiness Management Review. And it all comes up right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check out the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For this Friday afternoon, December contract for the soft red at 667 and three quarters, up a quarter. The March wheat at 679 and three quarters, up a quarter as well. And the May contract, $6.86 and a quarter, pinning a quarter higher. July of next year, 684 and three quarters, up one and one quarter. Hard red, July at 722 and three quarters, down a quarter of a cent. December corn, $4.27 and a quarter. A settlement price for the harvest month, a penny lower. The March futures down one and three quarters at 437 and a half. And the May corn at 445 and three quarters, down one and three quarters. July contract, $4.52 and a quarter. July settled down two. September at 458 and three quarters, down two. And next year's December at 466 and three quarters, two and three quarters lower. November beans today, $12.66 on a Friday afternoon, down 14 and a quarter cents. January futures, 1251 and a half, 14 and three quarters lower. And the March contract at 1237, down 13 and a quarter. May contract in the bean pit, 10 and a quarter lower at 1228 and a half. July, 1224 and a half, down 10 and a quarter. And next year's November soybeans, 12 and a half cents lower at $11.45 and three quarters. December bean meal at $394.90, down $8.70, and December bean oil up 26 cents at $41.59. Live cattle futures finished up the nearby December at $132.07, down 65 cents. Febs are 72 and a half lower at the end of the day at $133.47 and a half. And November feeder cattle at $163.50, down 87 and a half cents. January futures 163.47 and a half are down 20, and December lean hogs today $88.35, down 82 and a half cents. Febs 91.22 and a half, down 80. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, December contract, $94.46 a barrel, down $1.92. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, 4 9/10 lower, 253 7/10. Ethanol futures at $1.74 and a half. That's down 3 9/10 of a cent. Natural gas at 351 and a half, 6 6/10 lower, and diesel fuel at $2.88 and 3/10, down 7 cents. Gold futures on the afternoon, $1,313.20 an ounce, down $10.50. That a settlement price in the U.S. dollar at 80.71 is up 0.52 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. 54 degrees should be the high for the afternoon. Mostly cloudy. This evening, cloudy to low of 41. Saturday, cloudy with a high of 51. And Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low of 31 degrees. Sunday should show us sunny skies and 53 on calm winds. And then by the time we get to Sunday evening, partly cloudy and 39. Monday, starting the work week, 57 degrees and sunny skies. Monday night, mostly cloudy and 46. And Tuesday, cloudy and 60. Tuesday evening, showers should return. They'll stick around through Wednesday and Wednesday night with highs of 51 on Tuesday and 40 and 59 on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, a chance of showers, partly sunny skies otherwise, and a high of 50 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the first day of November 2013. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us today to take a look at the commodity markets is Mike Zuzulow at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello, Todd.
What kind of gray skies here? But not so bad, I suppose, for the first day of November, 52 degrees, and I suppose producers might be getting back into the field, but it could take another day or so. How about there?
Yeah, about the same. We got a bit more rain than some of you folks out there. I think that I talked to a client in near Bloomington, and he got over 3 inches. That's about what we got, but a lot of people along the Illinois-Indiana border that I spoke with really didn't get much more than an inch, it sounds like.
Yeah. What did you see in the marketplace that you liked and disliked this week?
I didn't like a lot, so we'll take that side of the market off the page as far as discussion. We can cut that discussion in half. I think, simply put, the fear in the market of the crop size returned. We had early week harvest weather was unimpeded, and that's kind of where you and I left it last Friday. Was the storm this week going to become a big storm or not, and was it going to really shut down the combines and turn the cash market back higher? And that did not happen. And so the trade started to resume its fear of what the USDA could say next Friday. And I think as the week progressed, what I heard from Chicago and when producers started to call in and from what they were hearing, the size of the corn crop especially grew and grew and grew as each day progressed. And at the exact same time, we saw wheat lose a major supportive feature in terms of India lowering their export price by $40 a ton. So corn didn't have the wheat to rely upon like it did last week either. So by the time we got to today's trade, I think the market and the producers became extremely nervous heading into Informa's numbers and what Informa may say, and that pretty much took a hold of the market all the way into the report, in my view. Now, Informa's numbers actually came in a little bit more supportive for the corn and a little bit less supportive for the beans, and as a result, we saw the corn being bought and the beans being sold and an unwinding of the spread trade.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to think. They were up, what, still 300 million bushels or something like that at a 14.2 crop?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They came in at 14.2, and that was a 161-something yield, so it essentially says they only cut harvested acres by 0.85 million, so that's a big number for me. I'm closer to 1.2 to 1.4 million less harvested acres, so I think that's where the crop size and where they came in with that 14.2 at this 425 level, and the fact that we did hold the monthly chart support of 424 and a fraction, probably still trading in the trade around a 2 billion bushel corn crop.
Do you see weakness for next week, or will she just trade steady into the reports?
You know, I was thinking about that before we went on the air, and I don't think the commercials are going to be real eager to go after a lot of corn before the report, because I think they have the sentiment on their side, and maybe there will be a little bit of a chasing of cash bushels on Wednesday or Thursday before the report if we get another break in the early part of the week, but So I'm going to say that it's unlikely that we'll get a big amount of short covering before the USDA numbers come out, because as we close this week out, we did find some support on the wheat by hitting a 62% retracement level, but the beans really gave up their support level at 1260, so I don't think the corn can do it by itself until we get these numbers out of the way.
Does the dime difference between the December and March make you feel like there's not much hope?
Not much hope as far as recovery?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not at all, no. Here's where I'm at, Todd. It's just a short-term versus medium-term market right now. You couldn't have gotten better exports this week in corn. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have gotten better exports. I don't think I talked to anybody in Chicago that really was not amazed by the type of demand we're seeing. But that means nothing in the short-term psychology, because there's no need to ration demand until we know what the U.S. supply is. So we're not going to look at Argentina's corn crop being reduced or their wheat crop being reduced or the fact that we're running 88% better than last year on corn exports right now and that we've met 66% of USDA's total export forecast for the marketing year until we get past next Friday.
Yeah, and the exports are even better for the soybeans.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, your commitments are about 25% better than last year, but last year was a stellar year, and you're exactly right. When you look at the total sales, we're at 74% of USDA's total, and that's where if the beans could find some support next week, I would be a little bit more cautious as a seller and try to short-term sell the market, because I did hear just before we picked up the phone together that a northeastern Indiana bean processor has gone from about 18 over for January meal all the way up to 50 over at this point. So as this meal market has dropped about $30 in the last 3 to 4 weeks, they've essentially covered that with an improving basis. So we are starting to see some meal attraction again at the processor level, and that may come back and bring meal back as a spotlight again next week, but I'm not getting my hopes up.
I kind of wondered about the drop in the beans today. Despite the Informa numbers, we're further along than we expected at this time with harvest. We're well past the halfway point at this time. Does it surprise you that this marketplace continued to drop?
I think that does from a standpoint of the medium-term fundamentals. The market clearly says we don't care that you bought 180 million bushels of beans the last 3 weeks world. We don't need to ration demand. And I think it all goes back to the reason they don't feel like we need to ration demand is because that U.S. crop is so big. I think one thing that did hurt the beans some this week was the fact that we did see some weather straighten out in Argentina, and we did get some more rains in some key areas of Brazil. So the Brazil bean planting and the Brazil acres and the Argentinian bean acres are looking bigger and bigger because of the recent weather pattern.
Anything on the livestock side we should be aware of?
I think the big thing on the livestock is we're going into the holiday season with very high prices at the retail level and at the wholesale level. We need to see demand hold up.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting and joins us here on the closing market report for this Friday afternoon. A couple of items if you have not thought about visiting with us at the Illinois Farm Economics Summits this wintertime or hasn't crossed your mind yet, go to the Farm Doc Daily website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Get yourself signed up. I believe registration is open for the Farm Economics Summits. That's put on by the Ag Economist right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. The crop scientists have their Ag Masters program up as well. You can search Ag Masters, Illinois on Google. That one is December, I think, the 5th and 6th, or maybe the 6th and 7th. It's a Monday and Tuesday early in December. You should sign up for that one, too. Search Google. Hey, up next, Dave Dickey will be here with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, South Korea today says that it may lift its ban on the use of an animal feed additive in meat early next year, a move that could lead to the resumption of some U.S. beef imports suspended last month. South Korea accounts for about 11% of U.S. beef exports. A new type of earworm has triggered the kind of panic among Brazilian soybean farmers not seen since the appearance of Asian soybean rust fungus back in 2003. Ever since the cotton bollworm or cotton earworm appeared from nowhere to cause as much as $900 million in damage to cotton and soy crops in the northeastern state of Bahia last year, farmers across Brazil's vast soy belt have been worrying about the pest's spread. And spread it has. With the soybean season just 6 weeks old, large earworm populations have already been reported in top soy-producing state Mato Grosso. There are reports of Mato Grosso farmers who have already applied insecticide 3 times to control the pest. The International Grains Council has revised its forecast for both global wheat and corn output. The IGC says global wheat output for the 2013-14 crop year is now forecast to reach 696 million tons. That's up from its prior forecast of 693 million tons. Meanwhile, IGC says world corn production is forecast to hit 948 million tons. That's up from its prior forecast of 943 million tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will record at 4:30 this afternoon and then post to our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Our panelists in studio or on the phone line this week include Matt Bennett and Aaron Curtis, along with Dan Zwicker, and our special guest, Ray Jenkins of Cargill Corn Milling out of Eddyville, Iowa. Commodity Week, our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. I'll also host a couple of other items that are coming up in the month of December, but you need to sign up for right now. The Ag Masters program is scheduled for the second and third day of December. That's a Monday and Tuesday. You can find more on the Crop Sciences Department website, Ag Masters. It's a two-day event, a special in-depth look at crop production in the state of Illinois. And then the Farm Economics Summits are coming up, too. Those are the week of the 16th of December, all 5 days. And naturally, we'll be traveling from here in Champaign on Monday to Sycamore up at the Center for Agriculture on Tuesday and in Galesburg Wednesday of that week. And then on Thursday, December the 19th, we'll be in Mount Vernon at the Holiday Inn. On Friday, the 20th day of December, we'll round it out at the Doubletree in Bloomington. I believe the pre-registration for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits has opened as well. You can check out farmdocdaily.illinois.edu for all the details. Now up next, an agribusiness journal edited right here on this campus has become the standard bearer for agribusiness research. I'll have more on the Scientific Magazine. The International Food and Agribusiness Management Review publishes high-quality, peer-reviewed, scholarly articles on topics related to the practice of management in the food and agribusiness industry. The editor of the journal is Peter Goldsmith. He's an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. Under his hand, the journal has become the flagship publication for agribusiness management.
That was kind of a fledgling sort of publication, and now we receive over 14,000 articles are now downloaded. These are scientific articles every month from the journal. And we have the fastest growing, for scholars, impact factor in the field of agricultural economics and agribusiness. So we've really put this journal on the map and created a destination for scholars and set a bar for scholars in the field of agribusiness where there wasn't one before.
Again, the journal provides managers, researchers, and teachers a forum where they can publish and acquire research results, new ideas, application of new knowledge, and discussion of issues important to the worldwide food and agribusiness system.
We have submissions from all over the globe, which is really important because many of the exciting phenomena in the field of food and agribusiness is occurring in among emerging countries, and you want the scholars that are there, the scientists that are there, to study and write about them, and they wouldn't be part of a peer review process, the scientific process, if it weren't for a journal like ours. And so it brings them kind of to an international level, raises the standard, and brings those phenomena to light.
The International Food and Agribusiness Review is unique not only because of its global scope, but also because it is targeted to academics and agribusiness managers alike.
So we have scientific articles, we have lots of case studies, we also have industry commentary, industry interviews. So we publish a number of things, and people like Hugh Grant, CEO of Monsanto, wrote an essay, head of supply chain management for Nestle's, a gentleman named Han Jor. I mean, these kinds of people wrote articles raising this issue about human capital and how we bring human capital, high quality human capital, into the food and agribusiness space. And so we provide that service as well.
Goldsmith says the International Food and Agribusiness Management Review has impact. It gives academics, through the peer review process, a platform seen and downloaded by thousands. The journal is open access online and does not require a subscription. The web address is www.ifama.org, or just search Google for International Food and Agribusiness Management Review.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview. Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
On this Friday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Let's check the agricultural cash grain markets. On the phone line with us, Ben Pruce. He's at the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Afternoon, Todd.
Farmers wrapping things up there?
Yeah, we've got about, we've caught the moisture here a little bit. We've got about, in the next week, it's going to be over.
And once it's over, and even now, are you seeing a basis pop, or is it staying steady with the losses at the Chicago Board of Trade?
Basis is kind of staying firm here, but with this moisture in the corn, our end users really haven't got too much coverage on, and so we are starting to see already some guys pop up. We're already in the overs over the D's here, so it's no surprise there.
Oh, really? Does that come from the ethanol plants?
Yes. An example, Valero in Hartley, Iowa, just a few miles away from our facility. Their option price, their partner down in Albert City, Iowa, is 13 over already.
And expectations for it to stay that way until we get some dry corn, and does that just come out of the elevator that way, or what happens?
Right. I think just with these prices hanging below that $4.50, I don't think they're going to pry a lot of bushels out of farmers' hands. So they're going to have to go the commercial route, and, just what we're thinking, they're going to have to head north a little bit before we ship them some bushels.
That is what you guys live for, a little basis change, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about that. It works okay, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's usually how it works. So.
All right. Well, it's only on the basis change as it is, and that's the way an elevator makes their money. So the question then is on beans. Do you have a same situation with processors hunting beans down, or are they feeling pretty well covered?
Yeah, no, it's going to be, I think especially on the beans, we're going to see the fireworks. Here in northwest Iowa, the beans got planted pretty late, and our bean crop up here was okay. You get in certain spots, and it was just plain downright terrible. So,
interesting.
Now that's obviously not everywhere, but it's in spots. It's pretty limited on the actual production, and once again, we're already starting to see some overs come over the telephone calls. So.
Yeah, so your beans would stay put and go to the West Coast, is that right or not?
Everything right here is, we have a lot of processors right here in our neck of the woods. We've got three, AGP, CHS, and Minnesota soy processors, so everything stays domestic here.
And what are your bids for the day?
Today we're 417 cash corn and 1214 cash beans.
Hey, Ben, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Ben Pruce joins us here on a Friday afternoon. He's at the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about the weather forecast. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, will join us.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National French Fried Clam Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1841, the first wagon of settlers left Independence, Missouri for the trip to California. In 1863, George Parker was born, an American inventor. He perfected the fountain pen and founded the Parker Pen Company. In 1873, Joseph Glidden began manufacturing his new invention, barbed wire, which opened the Western Plains to large-scale farming. In 1939, American biologist George Pincus showed off the first rabbit successfully conceived by artificial impregnation. Pincus removed an egg from the ovary of a female rabbit and fertilized it with a salt solution, and then transferred the egg to a second rabbit, which gave birth. In 1943, Alexander McAdey died, an American meteorologist. He invented and patented devices to protect fruit from frost, and he was a pioneer in the exploration of high-altitude air conditions. And in 1997, Victor Mills died. He was a chemical engineer who worked for Procter & Gamble. Among his many accomplishments, he improved Duncan Hines' cake mix, inventing a process that made the cakes less lumpy, perfected a process for preventing oil from separating in Jif peanut butter, and developed a process that cut the production time of Ivory soap bars down from 7 days to just a couple of hours. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
This Friday afternoon, Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, joins us. Jim serves as the state climatologist. Good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And tell me about the weather forecast at the moment, and then maybe you can turn around and take a look at the month of October and some of the stats.
Okay. Well, if you look at this weekend, it's going to be fairly cool. High on Saturday will be 51 and low Saturday night 31, so that's going to be probably our coolest day for the next couple of days here. And then by Sunday, it gets up to 53, and by Monday and Tuesday, we're back up into the mid to upper 50s, and that stays that way pretty much through at least next Wednesday on the high temperatures, and the lows will be in the 40s. So it'll be about average for this time of year. But probably the other bit of news of importance is the fact that we've got another round of rain coming in about Wednesday and Thursday as the next system moves through. And so that's going to give us – in fact, I was looking at the precipitation forecast for the next 7 days, and it looks identical to what we had for this week. So I think we're going to kind of see a repeat deja vu kind of thing with this next system that moves in.
And how did the month of October stack up historically?
You know, this past month was interesting in that if we talked on October 26th, I would have said, boy, it's a really dry month. But we actually finished out near average thanks to the rain at the very end of the month there. We finished out with 3.2 inches, which for all practical purposes is close to the long-term average that we have here for Illinois. And so, and the same thing locally. There's a lot of places got about 3 to 4 inches. And so it's, and I was looking at soil moisture, and that's starting to come back up. So I think we're seeing a nice recovery, at least at the 2, 4, and 8 inch level, with the soil moisture around the state as well.
There were some parts of the month that seemed awfully cold, but I think there were a few really warm days in there, too. Did that average out as well?
That's right. They all kind of balanced out. So we had some warm weeks and some cold weeks, and we ended up at 54.2 degrees, and our long-term average is 54.1. So just right on the numbers there as far as the temperature goes, just like the precipitation as well. You know, the other thing we had in October was snow in that northwest corner of the state. We had some places we got 2 to 3 inches out of that. Well, around here all we saw were snow flurries, but they did get some snow up near the Quad Cities area.
That's an unusual event. How unusual is it?
Well, you know, for those guys, it wasn't that too early for them. For us, it was maybe a little early. We don't see too much snow in October around here. It's just a handful of years had reports of snowfall. It's more likely to see it in November, for sure.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Don't forget to join us for Commodity Week. You can do that online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our guest this week, Ray Jenkins. He's from the Eddyville, Iowa, Cargill facility. On hand with us, too, Aaron Curtis and Matt Bennett, along with Dan Zwicker. Commodity Week should be a good one.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks.